Brilliance Audio presents 77 Shadow Street by Dean Koontz. Performed by Peter Burkrot. Bitter and drunk, Earl Blandon, a former United States Senator, got home at 2:15 a.m. that Thursday with a new tattoo. A two-word obscenity in blue block letters between the knuckles of the middle finger of his right hand. Earlier in the night, at a cocktail lounge, he'd thrust that stiff digit at another customer who didn't speak English and who was visiting from some third-world backwater, where the meaning of the offending gesture evidently wasn't known, in spite of countless Hollywood films in which numerous cinema idols had flashed it. In fact, the ignorant foreigner seemed to mistake the raised finger for some kind of friendly hello and reacted by nodding repeatedly and smiling. Earl was frustrated directly out of the cocktail lounge and into a nearby tattoo parlor, where he resisted the advice of the needle artist and at the age of 58 acquired his first body decoration. When Earl strode through the front entrance of the exclusive Pendleton into the lobby, the night concierge, Norman Fixer, greeted him by name. Norman sat on a stool behind the reception counter to the left, a book open in front of him, looking like a ventriloquist's dummy. Eyes wide and blue and glassy, pronounced marionette lines like scars in his face, head cocked at an odd angle. In a tailored black suit and a crisp white shirt and a black bow tie, with a fussily arranged white pocket handkerchief blossoming from the breast pocket of his coat, Norman was overdressed by the standards of the two other concierges who worked the earlier shifts. Earl Blandon didn't like Norman. He didn't trust him. The concierge tried too hard. He was excessively polite. Earl didn't trust polite people who tried too hard. They always proved to be hiding something. Sometimes they hid the fact that they were FBI agents, pretending instead to be lobbyists with a suitcase full of cash and a deep respect for the power of a senator. Earl didn't suspect that Norman Fixer was an FBI agent in disguise, but the concierge was for damn sure something more than what he pretended to be. Earl acknowledged Norman's greeting with only a scowl. He wanted to raise his newly lettered middle finger, but he restrained himself. Offending a concierge was a bad idea. Your mail might go missing. The suit you expected back from the dry cleaner by Wednesday evening might be delivered to your apartment a week later, with food stains. Although flashing the finger at Norman would be satisfying, a full apology would require doubling the usual Christmas gratuity. Consequently, Earl scowled across the marble-floored lobby, his embellished finger curled tightly into his fist. He went through the inner door that Norman buzzed open for him and into the communal hallway, where he turned left and, licking his lips at the prospect of a nightcap, proceeded to the north elevator. His third-floor apartment was at the top of the building. He did not have a city view, only windows on the courtyard, and eight other apartments shared that level. But his unit was sufficiently well-positioned to justify calling it his penthouse, especially because it was in the prestigious Pendleton. Earl once owned a 5-acre estate with a 17-room manor house. He liquidated it and other assets to pay the ruinous fees of the blood-sucking, snake-hearted, lying bastard may-they-all-rot-in-hell defense attorneys. As the elevator doors slid shut and as the car began to rise, Earl surveyed the hand-painted mural that covered the walls above the white wainscoting and extended across the ceiling. Bluebirds soaring joyously through a sky in which the clouds were golden with sunlight. Sometimes, like now, the beauty of the scene and the joy of the birds seemed forced, aggravatingly insistent, so that Earl wanted to get a can of spray paint and obliterate the entire panorama. He might have vandalized it if there hadn't been security cameras in the hallways and in the elevator, but the homeowners' association would only restore it and make him pay for the work. Large sums of money no longer came to him in suitcases, in valises, in fat manila envelopes, in grocery bags, in donut shop boxes,